1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And welcome back to our program. Interesting book out called, you know what? What's wild? I saw, I don't know how long ago it was, but it's not the only one I've seen. I've seen articles occasionally, and there was one that was like a couple years ago or 3 years ago in Time Magazine. And ever since then, I've seen articles about angels and people believing in them. And, you know, Dogma. Did you see Kevin Smith's Dogma? It's about a couple of angels that have messed up and City of Angels. Isn't there there's kind of an angel thing happening? Anaheim Angels are doing well. You know, it's just there's something happening. Are they doing well? They're not doing well? What are they, like 6 games out? Our very deep, wonderful friend Mike Socia took over the helm of that team. I think, you know, they're not doing good. Anyway, yeah, they are. They're doing fine, man. The whole division sucks, so they got to be in the thick of it. And there was an article, or at least there was a book written recently. We got the author on Dr. Robert Greene's book called Groped by an Angel, The Deviance Among Us, which is an interesting take and an interesting view of a phenomenon otherwise seen as benevolent. Correct, Doctor?
That is true, Phil. I guess we all see angels from the standpoint of the Nicolas Cage, Meg Ryan, City of Angels, or Touched by an Angel.
That's what I was trying to think of, Touched by an Angel at Della Reese Show.
That's correct. It's common belief that angels are a benevolent force. And if we read Scripture, we're led to believe that angels are, by and large, sent from God to either be the herald of God's news or to be God's sword, in the case of Gabriel, the bringer of news, in the case of Michael, the defense and protection and shield or sword of God, and in the case of Jehudiel, the ruler of the movements of celestial spheres.
Who is a Jehudiel?
That's correct. There are some 7 archangels, Phil: Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Barakiel, Seashell. And
there was one named Seashell?
Yes, there was. Seashell is an archangel cited in Job, in the Dictionary of Mythology, Folklore, and Symbols, and he is the request of God. So there are...
Do you believe, not to interrupt you, Doctor, do you believe in angels?
Yes, I do. I do believe that they are a phenomenon. They are a spiritual phenomenon, an astral phenomenon, and an extension, if you will, in the power of God. I began research on my book when there was at first anecdotal and in some instances apocryphal information that angels were not all benevolent. And I think we have to understand, we presume that angels are real. Angels are real, but they are not completely divine. They are closer to human than they are closer to God. They have spent some 26 billion years being God's helpers. They've done what God wants, and they are frankly getting tired of it. And they're getting tired of what they call waiting for the old man to get the party started.
In reference to God.
In reference to God, that's right.
All right, in your book, you cite story after story and incident after incident of angels attacking, not really attacking humans, but fondling humans.
Yeah, this is an angel's attempt at getting back at a God that they feel has not been completely forthcoming and has not been completely fair and forgiving. Angels are not allowed to make any mistakes, whereas human beings are allowed mistake after mistake and yet are constantly forgiven by God.
Now, the name of your book is Groped by an Angel, The Deviance Among Us, and you have some 26 stories of people who have been groped by angels, fondled or molested by angels.
That is correct. And the reason why we call it The Deviance Among Us is because I think people need a new, a different version of how angels react. They don't necessarily behave in a benevolent manner. They will grab, in one instance, chapter 16 of our book is the incident of the Chicago businessman who had an experience on the L, or on the loop, which is the subway train in Chicago. He had gone to Mass, and he had lit some candles. For people who are not Catholic, lighting candles to the Virgin Mary is a way of showing devotion and also initiating a request toward God that is generally handled by an angel or an archangel. And shortly thereafter, he distinctly felt a hand groping him or probing him.
On his body.
On his body. And that was significant, because that was the beginning in his life of a series of gropings by angels.
And this was, there wasn't a human doing that?
No, he was all alone at the far end of a car on the loop train in Chicago.
And this was in 1985?
In 85. There is the instance of an elderly woman who lived by herself in Brookline, Massachusetts, having a series of four visitations by particularly aggressive seraphim, and we're not sure which one it was, who repeatedly fondled her over a period of three nights.
And now, how do you know? Because there's no one there.
Yeah, it's not the invisible man. These are angels, and they're angels who are taking out their aggressions on humans who they feel are being better treated by God.
All right, we're talking to Robert Greene, the author of Groped by an Angel, The Deviants Among Us. This is the first time that I've ever heard of angels. How do we know that these are not demons?
Well, a demon possesses, Phil. A demon does not behave in this manner. A demon will possess the entire body and soul. A demon will debilitate and even change the personality of a person. But angels are a little bit what they think more playful, and that's why they'll do these things that are invasive but are not ultimately physically harmful. Psychologically, they're scarring.
And how so?
Because I think the individual who receives a groping by an angel suddenly doesn't believe that the angel is benevolent. They get angry. Most people have been groped by angels at one point. Many choose to forget or to black out the experience because they just don't appreciate it. There is a propensity of many elderly women to claim to law enforcement that they've been fondled by a stranger, when in point of fact they've been fondled by an angel.
When you talk about elderly women, what? Talking about them being fondled by strangers?
That's correct. We've been able to trace this down now to the possibility that they're groped or fondled by angels.
So, angel. Now, are you saying that angels like Michael and Gabriel are?
Well, I get into that in one part of my book. I don't think Michael or Gabriel, but Jehudiel, the ruler of the movements of celestial spheres, I think was involved in a groping. And in my own personal experience, I know that I was groped and probed by Raphael.
How do you know it's Raphael?
Because Raphael is the golden vial of balm, aids in healing, and the master of healing the earth. And it wasn't a very healing thing, so that's what I assume.
So you were probed by an angel?
I was groped, yeah.
This is unbelievable, and like I say, there's a lot of people who believe in angels and who talk about angels a lot, and for the most part, we see them as benevolent, guardian angels, but you're saying that there are angels now who are angry at God for not making them what? For not
raising them up as high as God raises up humans. And even though they're closer to God at this point, God is not as forgiving with angels as he is with men, and so therefore the angels are getting a little angry.
And so they're taking it out on humans by groping and probing and fondling them.
That's right. It's not the invisible man. That's if you feel your rear end being squeezed and there's no one there, it's an angel. It really brings new light to the term touched by an angel. I mean, if you want to be kind of a wise ass about it.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Robert Greene's book, The Groped by an Angel, The Deviants Among Us. And he also has a chapter toward the end with that sort of goes through his own personal experience. He calls it being raped by an angel. And we'll get into that as well. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Robert Greene, my guest. I'm Phil Hendry. It's The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. My guest this hour is Robert Greene, the author of Groped by an Angel, The Deviants Among Us, and the idea that angels, okay, the ones that, I guess, fly around with wings and what have you, angels can behave. Wouldn't we call this mischievous, Bob, that angels are groping and fondling humans?
You could call it mischievous. It isn't any physical damage or danger or assault that is long-lasting, but it's traumatic, I think, that it's coming from an angel, which is an entity that we have traditionally believed to be a benevolent entity, and have since the Council at Nicaea in 325 AD, where we first identified angels as being the heralds of God. But now I sense a shift. I sense a shift in the pantheon that angels are getting a little upset, and they're getting tired of what they call the old men, and waiting to get this party started, as they say.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So angels are out there grabbing humans or groping humans, and any a lot of older women who have complained of being fondled by a stranger, it's often been an angel.
That's my opinion.
Here is Omaha on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, I was just wondering, you know, this ain't never happened to me before, no one that I know of, and this guy is saying that an angel goes around and fondles people and stuff like
that. At one time or another, yes, sir.
Okay, so my question to you is, has this angel ever fondled you before?
I have had an encounter, yes, sir.
Oh.
Well, you may not know it. It could happen to you while you're sleeping.
Uh-huh.
It could happen to you while
How would you know it's happening to you if you sleep?
Well, that's true. You would not know. But I'm saying that it has occurred to most humans in their lifetime.
What, an angel's going to wait till someone's asleep so they're going to feel a guy's rear end or something?
Well, you see, it sounds funny on one level, but on another level it's serious, because this is a shift in attitude in heaven between angels and God or the Godhead, that God favors humans and does not favor angels as much, and the angels are beginning to get upset. And
all right, well, let's say the angels got really, really angry. What would they do?
Perhaps rape? Let me ask you a question, sir. Have you ever, and I'll try to be delicate, have you ever awakened with an erection?
Okay.
Oh.
I can't, you know,
No, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. Have you? You have, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I have, but...
All right,
but
that's...
It ain't because,
how
it
do you think it's...
some angel was fondling me.
How do you know?
Oh, come on! You're telling me there's like 90% of men out there, you're telling me an angel...
Are you guys done?
Yeah, well, come on! I mean,
are you guys done?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Think about it.
So, in other words, when that happens, when a man awakens that way, it's because an angel's been at him all night.
Maybe not all night.
Okay, I got one more question before I hang up.
I'll tell you this much. Have you ever awakened, and I'll ask you this too, Mr. Henry, have you ever awakened with a sore rear end?
No.
Never.
Let me ask
you. You never have.
Let me ask you.
You know, you say that very emphatically.
Well, what is that supposed to mean if I awaken with a sore rear end?
Three guesses. You got it.
Okay, can I ask my question now?
Go ahead.
Okay. Back in the long, long time before me and your days, God, it was a devil named Lucifer in heaven.
That's right. Lucifer was one of the archangels.
He wanted to overpower God's land. Okay?
That's right. That's correct.
And he had followers that was with him. God cast him out of heaven. Okay. Now, I don't believe the good angels that's there to protect us from hurt, harm, and danger is sitting down here, coming down here in angel form, filling us up. I don't believe that. And I feel like you need some...
No, what I'm saying is...
Thank you, sir, for the time.
All right.
Well, all right, thank you very much, sir.
Well, the gentleman didn't want to hear my response. I'm saying that it is not it's not an overtly dangerous thing, unless they get really angry. Then you wake up with a sore rear end.
Okay, so in other words, if that ever... And it's never happened to me, and...
Sure it hasn't. Of course it hasn't, Phil. But
well, what are you calling me, a liar?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just, you know, the emphatic way that you and that gentleman... Nope, never happened to me.
Well, it hasn't happened to me. What do you mean, wake up with a sore rear end? Has it happened to you?
Well, I get into that in the book.
So it's happened to you?
No, I haven't awakened that way.
Here's Reseda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I just have a couple of comments. One, you got to have a belief in angels before you just pick uses and say that do this or do that. All I know in my belief that angels are not allowed to do mistakes. Actually, they
That's
don't
right.
know.
That's right.
mistake.
That's right. But they can, you know, mess around and, you know, grab your rear end or something.
No, and that's the difference between a human being being placed on Earth to develop it versus an angel that doesn't know how to do mistakes. I just don't believe that that thing. The other comment is for you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I believe this whole show is a joke. I'm sorry to say that on the show, but...
Have you ever awakened with morning mouth? That milky feeling in your...
Okay.
I'm gonna respond to that.
Thank you very much for your call. Guy thinks this show's a joke. Here is Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to say that the doctor, I believe, is making a mockery of what God created to put on this earth, such as the Holy Spirit, to watch over us. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He would never make something imperfect to do something like that. I believe those are demons.
Wait,
demons.
No. That's just it. Demons possess.
No.
Angels just do little mischievous things.
That goes against everything.
I don't call waking up with a sore rear end mischievous, okay? Oh. If that's what you're saying is going on.
Well, it's not like he's possessing your soul.
I don't believe that demons always possess. I believe demons also do damage.
I'll tell you a story. Can I tell you a story, sir?
Sure, go ahead.
I believe that if you suspect, by the way, that you're being molested by an angel, that obscene language will stop them because they're frightened by it. Now, I was contesting a parking ticket down at the Van Nuys Courthouse when I felt what I felt was the unmistakable presence of Raphael. And I was getting probed and felt up and all that stuff, and I began shouting obscenities, and I got rid of him.
Okay, that's
but I, because I was in a courtroom, I got cited for contempt of court because I had to shout obscenities, but I did get rid of him. But the good news is that if you're raped by an angel, and you're still technically a virgin.
Angels are holy.
Okay, I understand. Yes, they are, but they're getting angry.
If you're raped by an angel, you're still technically a virgin. How do you figure that?
Because it's like, well, it's like the Invisible Man. See, there's no real penetration. You see what I'm saying, sir?
I see what you're saying, but this
there you go.
Totally goes against every Christian belief.
No, I don't think so.
Yes,
I think so.
And it goes everything the Bible has taught us. It goes everything
right.
against what the Bible has taught us.
And let me just get back to this thing. You're in a courtroom contesting a parking ticket.
Right.
And you feel an angel grabbing you, so you started screaming obscenities, and the judge gave you contempt of court?
Yeah, because he didn't understand, and I wasn't about to explain it to him, but I did get rid of the angel. So there's some things you give and you take in this world. I got thrown in jail for 3 days. But I didn't get raped by an angel. Oh, I guess the guy hung up.
Yeah, I guess he did. Yeah, I guess that cat just hung right up.
Well, you take the Lord's name in vain, and the angel will leave you alone.
All right. Listen, Dr. Green, your book is available where?
Yeah, my book is available at Weimer Bookstores, and you can certainly call our hotline to make an order, 213-251.
Hold on, 213.
251.
251.
3189. Groped by an Angel, The Deviance Among Us, and that is published by Northern Press, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much for that, and it's been a real treat, and it's good to know you're still a virgin, man.
Hey, wait a second. What kind of a crap?
Okay, so there you go. Groped by an Angel, The Deviance Among Us. You know what I think? I think this whole freaking show is a joke. I think this whole Phil Hendry show is some kind of a spoof. Don't you? Some kind of a gag? I don't get it, man. I'm beginning to kind of get the vague outline, the vague shape of somebody tugging my leg here. It's taken me about 3 years, but I'm suddenly beginning to see the shape and the outline in the mist. See, all I gotta do, Phil, your show is so funny, you just have to let people in on it. I see. Otherwise, it takes about 6 years. So anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I had a little story that I wanted to tell you from Mexico. You know, by the way, 4 days running now, man. I still got that. It's bad, Jim. I took that ammonium AD. I think I got a parasite or something from down there. I went into Puerto Vallarta and ate in a restaurant in Puerto Vallarta. And because my wife, you know, wanted to soak up some of the local color. So, you know, where do you eat around here? Oh, down the street at this great. Oh, senor. And, you know, the waiter's one of these cats that's, I guess he felt compelled to do a mambo step. Like, I needed to see that. You know, I wanted to kind of get the whole Latin flavor. So he's mamboing around, giving us. And by the way, you order up a taco down there, and it's actually a taquito. I didn't know this. When's the last time you ever ordered a taco in Mexico? When's the last time you were in Mexico? You go down there and order a taco, it's a taquito. It's a little hard shell. It ain't no taco. So anyway, make a long story short, we're traveling down there, and I know I always come back from these trips with some interesting story, some belly aching that I'm going to do about how something, you know, didn't go right. So let me, oh, by the way, just in case you think all I ever do is bitch, I'd like to say that the guy, my pool contractor, the great Scott Cohen, is a great, great artist, a great workman. I highly recommend him to anybody because it's going along beautifully. It's going along beautifully. They're building the barbecue this week. I'm flipping out. I'm loving it. Now, I go down there. This happened twice to me. You pull out a Visa card. This happened to me in France, and it happened again in Mexico. Pull out a Visa. You lay it on the guy, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, the charge was declined, sir. Declined? I got, I don't know how many thousands of dollars on the limit here. I'm well below the limit. What do you mean, decline? Well, I don't know, senor, but that's what happened. So, like I did in Paris, only this time my wife got on the phone. She calls the bank in question that handles this Visa card. We're in Mexico, the middle of the week. The hotel had called us and said, you know what, Mr. Henry, we can't run any more charges on your Visa. The bank, you know, they declined it. I said, what are you talking about, man? I got all this money. Well, I don't know. So Maria gets on the phone with the Visa people, and their math isn't adding up. You had this many charges. Right, and we have this much on our limit, so there should be this much left. Well, that's not what I'm getting. And she put her on hold, and they couldn't figure it out. Well, what happens is this. Certain banks that run a Visa card, if they see that there are unusual charges coming from unusual places, like, well, here's a place that hardly anybody ever travels to, Mexico. Or another place that nobody ever goes to, Paris, France. Then a big red flag goes up there in the Visa headquarters, and they just start declining authorization on charges. They just won't authorize. They won't authorize that. You're in the middle of Paris. I was, you know, trying to buy my wife a freaking dress. Oh, I'm sorry, monsieur. I cannot. This is not authorized. I said, well, I don't understand. You know, I checked every single last one of the balances on every one of these cards before I left to make sure that I would have them. And you're telling me, no, I can't. So I get back on the phone. I called Visa in the United States. I said, what is the story? I'm an American. I'm traveling. You know, I pulled out that whole, I'm an American. Not that it matters to them at all. Or should it? I'm traveling in a foreign country. And, you know, you type way too slow, Mike. By the time you get the thing out, I'm well past whatever it is you're trying to type. Whatever message you're trying to lay on me, man, I'm on six thoughts later. So either type it out really fast or forget it. So I got this phone call with the guy, and I said, what's the deal, man? Well, sir, you know, we got a lot of charges, and that's our policy. And when you signed up with our card, well, you know what? You're right. I should have read the fine print. I should have read all 758 million words on that contract that you crammed into one the size of a postage stamp. I should have read it all. You're absolutely right. Because if I had read it all, if people read all of those words that you guys put, you wouldn't make one single sale of a credit card. Not one person would want your stinking card. Be thankful that I didn't read all the words. Because now you're charging me whatever the hell it is, the 15%, and I'm using your card. And on top of that, you get the glee, the joy of making sure that I don't get my charges authorized in a place like Paris, unusual though it may be. Well, that's the way it goes, sir. So the same thing happened to us in Mexico, you know, halfway through the trip, Visa, once again. Oh, you know, I said, look, I got this much money. I've charged this much. There's this much left. What's the deal? Hold on, sir. Put you on hold. Why? Look, at the reason why I do this, guys, bellyache and complain about these things, whether it's about Sears or whatever, is not because, you know, I want my life necessarily to get easier, but who's speaking on your behalf? You know what I'm saying? I ain't some consumer advocate. I'm just bringing this crap up because I know you guys go through it all the time, and all you ever do is get a guy on hold. Now, I happen to know that these people hear me because I had Sears cancel their advertising on one of my radio stations. Now, watch Visa come after me because God forbid you should tell the truth about anything. And you know what? They have a perfect right. They don't want me bad-mouthing their product. They can cancel out whenever they want to. That's their constitutional right. They sure as hell, if I were them, I probably would too. Although if I were them, I'd probably do something even better. I try to improve my service a little bit. What are you talking about, Visa? It's everywhere you want to be. I wanted to be in Mexico. You weren't there, man. So you know what I did? Let me tell you what I did. I pulled out the old American Express. Because those guys never fail me. Never, ever, ever, ever has American Express ever failed. Yeah, you got to pay that sucker off at the end of every month. But when I needed them to come through for me because that's the only one I had left in my wallet, and they were there. Visa, it ain't no place you are. American Express, thank God for you. Because twice now, I've had to play this game with Visa. Oh, well, we can't authorize it. Why? Hold on, sir. See, they put my wife on hold, I don't know, 3-4 times. She's talking to somebody. Who are you? Maria finally said, who are you talking to? My supervisor. What's his name? Well, do you want to? No, I don't want to talk to him. Just give me his name. So that when we get back to the United States, we'll put a phone call into the bank and find out what the deal is. Now, yeah, you're right. You got it in the fine print, and I had to read the fine print. I maintain, though, that if everybody read the fine print that you guys got, you wouldn't have anybody using your credit card. That's the God's truth. Nobody would use your card if we all read that fine print that says we reserve the right to decline authorization on charges if it looks a little strange and the moon's full and, you know, there's a pentagram on my palm, man, and there's an old lady in a wagon going down the road. You know, then we reserve the right. Even after you call and beg us, when I called them in France, I said, look, you got to help me out here, okay? And they went, well, okay. So after that, it was like, oh, God, I'm sweating bullets. Are they going to take it or are they not? Here it is. Here's the Visa. And you see that, you know how you see the waiter approaching the table and you're trying to read his face? Was it declined or not? I don't know. But when he's got a pen there with it, you figure it's cool. But if he's carrying it at his side and he's walking along, marching kind of at a goose step, and there ain't no pen in that little leather thing, he's got a decline on his face. And Mike says to me, he gets that all the time, and you're using a Visa check card. So you're using a debit card. There should be no reason in the world. No reason in the world to get declined on a debit card. Except not having enough money in your account. Yeah, well, that's why you get turned out. But if you know you're taking your wife out for dinner and you got, I don't know how much money in, you know, at least you got enough money for a freaking dinner in there. And here comes the waiter and you're trying to read that guy's face. Was the card, I don't know, is it right, is it wrong? Here he comes. No, you're declined. I'm sorry, monsieur. The card came back a decline. Oh, all right, you know what? I don't even screw around. And I want Visa to know this, and not that it'll matter to you guys, because I know 99% of the business you give people is fantastic, and I'm sure you got all kinds of excuses. But just so you know, so you'll feel better, your customers are not left out in the cold. Not if they got an American Express card, they're not. You know, you ever written a check, you don't know whether you got enough money? Well, that's one thing, man. But when you call and you make sure you got the bread in your account, and then you get over there and the guy says, and I called Visa, I said, what's the story? Well, you know, sir, we just sort of reserved the right, you know, we saw a lot of charges and they're unusual. And what is si vous plaît? What's that all about? It's French. Oh, uh-huh. Traveling outside the country, are we? Well, hey, you know, you can keep track of all my movements now, okay, and report them to Big Freaking Brother. Are you doing some kind of work in the government? Anyway, that's the story. But other than that, we had a great... Well, other than the fact that I picked up dysentery, we had a great time. Other than Visa and the dysentery I got, great trip to Mexico. Four Seasons Hotel, out of sight. American Express, fantastic. And the Puerco Azul in Puerto Vallarta, where they're selling us that table, they're cool too. But that joint where I had them tacos, forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, my wife is so healthy, you know, she's bench pressing the car. She's going to the river this week. She's out there with, told you, with 15 women and 15 kids. It's just, it's a women's empowerment thing. I'm not trying to be a smartass. These are women who know what they're, I mean, they got it together out there, man. She, Maria called me, I talked to her yesterday. One of the Sea-Doos got, you know, it's one of these jet skis, which I grew up kind of hating because I'm sort of a meat-headed liberal kid, you know, and I didn't dig power boats and things and motorcycles. And yeah, it was very strange because I thought it was, you know, bad for the squirrels or whatever. Anyway, and I like motorcycles, but I still don't like jet skis. But anyway, she's totally into them and has got one out there. Oh, they call them a Sea-Doo? Is that the same as a jet ski? And they got some pebbles or something in the intake. And chicks are out there, you know, ripping those engines apart, and they're fine. And I'm like, sure you don't need me to come out there, honey? Not that I know what the hell I'm doing. Yeah, you know, you can draw your own conclusions if you want, Craig, okay? Not my wife. I don't know about the rest of them. Yeah, she got some rocks up that thing, and she got some rocks up the chute. And anyway, what am I saying? So one of the women took it apart. No, I shouldn't say that. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, Sea-Doo is a brand, but usually refers to a sit-down type. Jet ski is the stand-up type. Yeah, they got the sit-down type. What am I saying? Well, what I mean is, okay, so they took that apart, and apparently everything is going great. It's 110 degrees out there, and the kids are squirreling around, and, you know, they're wakeboarding, or what is that stuff you do when you go behind a powerboat? You know, you're on your knee boarding or something. Having a blast, you know, just really having a blast. It's really hot, and we have one of those, get a load of this, but we got an SUV because there's four kids in the family. Did I buy one big enough? No. Do you realize there's such a thing now as buying SUVs that ain't big enough? It ain't big enough. I'm not going to tell you the brand, but I'm going to tell you it wasn't cheap. I will also tell you it's made by Ford, not Chevy. Am I getting you getting warm? And this thing ain't big enough. I mean, you can get the four kids in it. In fact, it's got seven seatbelts. But any place to put anything, forget it. They got crap in their laps. They got crap under their feet. They're having to store crap on the roof. And the storage space, the actual storage space, is about a foot wide. A foot deep, I should say, and wide as the truck. Now, you know those Suburbans and that Excursion and all that stuff. Boy, speaking of the Excursion, what a great time to come out with that, huh? $2.50 a gallon. Nice move! Is that Ford? What timing? I can only say, as the owner of an SUV, I hope you guys go belly up on that. Not because I want to see a guy get hurt, but you know what? You can't have it beautiful every day of the week. Come out with the Excursion, $2.50 a gallon. How many of those are you selling? Now, out in California, we're still sitting at about $1.70 a gallon. The Midwest is getting nailed. Out here, we got a few refineries, and there's some places around the country. So we got about $1.70 a gallon, which is about what it was. It was actually worse back in the spring. But the Midwest, all of a sudden, somebody said, let's really put the screws to those squares, and they're paying $2.30, $2.40, $2.50 a gallon. And that Ford, is that Ford, the Excursion? What a genius move to come out with that now. I'm sure they're just lining up at the door waiting to buy that. $2.50 a gallon? Let's go! Let's go ahead and put $100 a tank in. But I'd give it all away right now for one of those things, because what Maria's hauling out there in the desert, it just ain't big enough. And she had to get a trailer out. She had to get a trailer to put the crap in, because the SUV, the
Ford-built
SUV that we've got, ain't big enough. But anyway, she's you know, doing it, and I said to her, honey, I have the runs. Will you drink some water, honey, and you, you know, do whatever you need to do, you sissy. She eats whatever she wants. She's eating like raw. She's drinking out of faucets down in Mexico, and she's fine. She's in the pink of health. Me, I'm like sitting on the toilet there shaking with a copy of Vogue. Could someone pass me some paper, please? You know, we got Newsweek. That'll do. Anyway. Bye.
The Phil Henry Show.
Sweat, baby, sweat, baby. Sex is a Texas drought. Me and you do the kind of stuff that only Prince would sing about. So put your hands down my pants, and I'll bet you'll feel nuts. Yes, I'm Cisco. Yes, I'm Ebert. And you're getting two thumbs up. You've had enough of two-hand touch. You want it rough. You're out of bounds. I want you smothered. Want you covered like my Waffle House hash browns. Coming quicker than FedEx. Never reaching apex. Just like Coca-Cola stock. You are inclined to make rise an hour early, just like daylight savings time. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Homo.
Phil Henry.
This is the kind of music that Craig used to listen to in the Philippines. Let me guess, is this a British band?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, naturally. You guys can lose the synthesizers now in Britain, you know, the guitars are working good over here.
The kind you clean up with the mop and bucket, the lost catacombs of Egypt, only God knows where we stuck it. Hieroglyphics, let me be Pacific, I want to be South Seas, but I got this notion that the motion of your ocean means small craft advisory. So if I capsize and your thighs high tide, B5, you sunk my battleship. Please turn me on, I'm Mr. Coffee. With love it just like Lyle, and then we'll do it doggy style so we can both watch X-Files.
Do it now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Mermaid.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like Discovery Channel.
It won't fly, but you made a point.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Sunrise, I'm there.